Praise the Lord. Yeah. Two great smiles. We, you know, we have some, I'll say this, I'm going to brag on this church just for a moment, because we just have some lovely, grounded young people in this church, young men and women, and I want to tell you, we are blessed by that. We are so blessed. God has been so good to us, and so we're just praising the Lord for that too. So congratulations once again. And now we've done that, we're going to do a little bit of worship, so we hope you're ready to join us, and I'm going to pray. God, we thank you, Father, for not only the fact that we can be in the house today, but God, more importantly, most importantly, that you are in the house. So, Father, we bless your name today as we come and gather together in the presence of the Most High God. We pray that your Holy Spirit will simply inhabit this place. And God, I pray for a personal visitation of the Holy Ghost on each person that's here today in the hearing of our voice. So, Father, we bless you today. We thank you, Father, for joining this church together. God, we lift up our brother and friend, Brad Eisenhower, right now. He's in the hospital. God, we're praying to God, and we speak against that infection and that disease. In Jesus' name, we rebuke any enemy that's trying to attack his body. Father, right now, we lift him up to you. We pray that he and Brittany and Tucker would just be blessed through this process. As difficult as it is, God, you will turn it around. What the enemy wanted for evil, you will use for good. We pray that you will bless their life and bless their family through this time, God. And again, we thank you for your presence in this house. We thank you for a wonderful day yesterday as we celebrated the marriage of Sarah and Alan. We bless their time together. They're many years together, Father, until we all see you face to face. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand? And let me get my guitar.
Did you come ready to worship this morning? Are you excited to be here this morning? We wait.
So come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, Let our hearts continue burning. For our King is soon returning.
God is good.
Amen.
We're going to sing that this morning, that He is good. Amen?
Amen.
Say, you are good.
You are good.
You are good.
You are good.
God, you are so good.
God, you are so good.
The King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. You are good. Good. Oh, 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 let the King the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good. Good. Oh, you are good.
Never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna, never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good.
when the night is holding on to me. God is holding on.
You are good. Still on the throne. Amen. Some may say it's hopeless. They must have never met my God. Some may say it's over. But it was finished on the cross. Some may say it's broken, but the healer's in the room. Some may say it's hopeless, but I know God's about to move. God's about to move. A miracle in the works. I can feel it. There's revival in the church. I believe it. An ocean, but he's made a highway through. Some may see a mountain, but we've seen a mountain move. Some may see a graveyard, but we've seen his empty tomb. Some may see a battle, but I of God, come breathe again. Like the dry bones started shaking, all that died will live again. Oh, the miracle you're making, the beginning, not the end. Eternity is waiting to see your church alive again. Reignite us, reawaken, breath of God, come breathe again. Like the dry bones started shaking, all that died will live again. Oh, the miracles you're making, the beginning, not the end. Eternity is waiting to see your church. Miracle.
Lord, we thank you, God, for your presence in this place. We thank you for it every week. Where would we be without it? What would set us apart from the world if we didn't carry the presence? I can't help but think of yesterday. I'm still in wedding mode. I can't help it. That's not a bad thing, you know, because the greatest wedding is yet to come. You know, the church was beautifully decorated, and it's so beautiful to see two people come together. But man, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like when Jesus comes for his bride? And I just heard him say this morning, I've decorated heaven for you. Wow. How many of you know that there's a place that's waiting for you? There's a place that is so beautiful and so peaceful and so complete. And it's waiting for us. And I can sense and feel the anticipation of Jesus coming for his bride. You know, he can't resist you. Do you know that? He can't resist you. He loves you so much, and he can't resist you. But yet I almost feel like there's a part of him that when he comes and we will be caught up together with him in the air, what happens after that will be very difficult, as we know. And I think a side of our Lord thinks of that too. He knows the day that he's coming, but he also knows what will happen to those that are left behind after the rapture. If I can use that word, and it is a word, it is in the Bible. I remember, I don't know, several years ago that I had sat up in bed out of a dead sleep. I just sat up and I said, it's the 11th hour and God is preparing the saints for the work of the ministry. How many of you know that we're in that hour right now? We're in that hour. We're in the 11th hour. We're in that between 11 and 12, where 12 is divine government, right? Divine government doesn't look like what we might expect, you know? And when God comes and his divine government comes, it's a little bit different than what we might think. It's exciting, but yet it is difficult. There's going to be miracles, but yet then there's going to be judgment at the same time. And it won't look like the revivals of old. It won't look like that. It's going to look like something different, but it's going to look like the church militant going into the streets and going into the hospitals. How many of you know the hospitals are going to be cleared out? How many of you are willing to go? How many of you are willing to go and take the power of God into the hospitals, take the power of God into the streets, and lay hands on the sick and prophesy over them and teach them and tell them about salvation, tell them about the goodness of God and about the power of the Holy Ghost? It's not going to look like it did. And we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to be witnesses, even if it requires us to be a martyr for the Lord. How many of you know that that's what it means to be a witness? How many of you know that God is pouring out his Spirit on us right now and on the remnant, on those that are positioned to receive that anointing when the move of God comes? And I totally believe I want to be the one that goes into the hospital. I want to be the one that causes Big Pharma to go bankrupt because I'm carrying the presence of God. How about you? I know we already have the presence of God and the truth within us, but I feel there's something coming. There's something coming, like when David, I'm trying to recall the story, that when he declared Baal Perazim, and it means, you have broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of water. There was something that came in behind David and caused everything to clear out. And I just believe that there's a move of God coming like that. He's coming like that. Are you prepared? Is your heart open so that God can move through you? It's a definitely not a time to hide. It's a great time to be alive, right, church? Can you say that with me? It's a great time to be alive. All right, say it like you mean it. It's a great time to be alive. Come on. This is one of the most exciting times in the history of the world. Are we living it? Like pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Do you run over? When you go out into public, do you run over, or are you just kind of camping and waiting for that pressed down, shaken together, and running over to come to your living room? No, when it runs over, you can't help it. It's like fire shut up in your bones. You know where that fire comes from? You know where it comes from? It comes from the presence. And you can't hide it. You can't hide the presence of God. You can't hide the fire that's within. You can't hide the passion. And can I tell you, there's so many people that want that. There's so many people that want a touch from God because they don't have anywhere else to go. Do you understand that? There was a lady that was crying in a, I won't say where. Her knees hurt so bad, she was crying at work, and she had lost a friend to COVID. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help it. And I tell you these things to encourage you not to be afraid. It's not about you. It's not about you being rejected. Because when I tell you, usually it's Christians that tell you that they don't want to be prayed for. Because they have it all together, right? People want to know about Jesus. Don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let the enemy convince you that you're not enough. You became enough when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. You became enough when you came into the presence of God and says, Jesus, fill me, because I want to lay a hold of every good thing that you have for me. Come on. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let him make you think that you're not enough and that you can't do it. He loves you so much. He's decorated a place for you in heaven. But we have work to do. We can go there for a while and we can camp out in his love and just receive all that good stuff. But then we got to go out and we got to give it away, right? How many of you want to give it away? I know I do. God, I just pray your Holy Spirit, your presence just come, God, like a fire in this place, God. And as we position our hearts, God, to receive what you have for us, as we possess by faith what you have and what is written in the Word of God for us, God, we position our hearts to receive all that you have. We ask that your presence, God, ignite the word, that it would pierce our hearts and go down deep, and we would be forever changed today. Amen, church? God, I pray that you would fill us with your fire, fill us with your love, God. We prepare ourselves, God, for whatever you have for us in this hour. I can't help but talk about this. I know I'll mess it up a little bit, but I know that my husband was writing a check this morning, right? You're writing a check this morning. What was the number on the check? The check number. All right. All right. Let's just say there was 11s. Okay. And the check amount, there was 11s. Or whenever he was writing it out. He just told me this morning. I don't know when he wrote it. And I started to think about the 11th hour. And then when he went to tear the check out, he ripped it. And he had to write another one, which would have made it 12. And the fact that it happened today, everything's prophetic to me. Everything's prophetic. But I feel like there's an acceleration that the enemy is pressing in on the earth. And there's an acceleration to just take out a bunch of people right now so that they don't have the opportunity. They don't have the opportunity to be saved. And if you look at all of the things that are going on around the earth and all of the different, I'm not going to even say the word, but things are happening. Things are rising up. There's wars and there's rumors of wars. And there's things going on. And the enemy is, there's a spirit of acceleration that's on the earth right now. And I feel like when he ripped the check and he had to write a new one for 12, there's a time frame that we have as the church And we need to pray against that acceleration from hell. And let me give you a passage in Joshua chapter 10. If you remember when Joshua prayed and he commanded the sun to stop while they won the battle, that's the time we're in right now. It's not time for the enemy to do quite everything that God, that he's going to allow him to do. It's not time. And the remnant, the church, needs to rise up and pray against that spirit of acceleration to bring death and turmoil to the earth. Because Jesus knows when he's coming. He knows when he's coming, but it's contingent upon how the church prays and what the church prays that will change the events and the things that come until that day, until we're taken up with him. You understand what I'm saying? And it's important that we pray against these things, that we bind these things and come against it. It's going to make a huge difference in that time gap between 11 and 12. I don't know how else to explain it. So God, in Jesus Christ's name, we bind the spirit of acceleration across the earth in Jesus' name. And I come together with the saints in this house and we bind the powers of hell. We destroy the demonic altars and the human sacrifice that has been lifted up to summon these demons to bring this to the earth in Jesus' name. I put all of that blood under the blood of Christ. And I paralyze the power of every demon of hell that has come against the United States of America. And I declare the spirit of justice, the true spirit of justice, to rule and reign over this earth right now. In Jesus' name, we bind every demon of hell from spreading any bioweapon. We curse COVID-19 and every variant in Jesus Christ's name, and we declare the antidote, the natural immunity that comes from Jesus Christ and being filled with His Spirit and being covered by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. God, I thank you, Lord. I pray right now, Jesus, that you go into the hospitals by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you touch every person in the hospital right now. Everyone, God, that is sick, God, from COVID-19 or any other variant in Jesus' name. And I curse that virus right now in Jesus' name. And I declare healing over every person that is infected. And I pray right now that they walk out of the hospital in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. And I pray, God, that they would know that they were visited by the Spirit of the living God. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, that you have given us a mouth to speak. You have given us words to speak, God, that we have the power to regenerate. How many of you know that the Spirit of God has the power to regenerate? So we thank you, God, for regenerating life. That you saved us from hell. You saved us from disease. God, you are so good. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. And everybody said, amen. 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 You guys can be seated. I can't help it. I get fired up. I don't want to help it. Amen.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we have some really special guests with us today. Pete, do you want to make your way up here? And Tammy, if you want to say something, you can. If you don't, I'm all right with that too. I didn't prepare you for that. You definitely don't have to. But I just have to say a couple words about Pastor Pete and Pastor Tammy. You know, God brings people into your life sometimes that He just wants in your life. Amen. And several years ago, I was trying to remember the date. I'm thinking it's 2006. I don't know.
Sounds good to me.
I think we learned ish word in Africa. Ish is whenever or sometime. But these two have been a huge part of my spiritual walk. This is my spiritual mom and dad right here. And God brought them into my life through Don and Helen Shimori. And I'm just ever grateful for how you guys have poured into my life. And if it wasn't for them and God's hand on them in my life, I wouldn't be who I am today. These are the ones that walked me through some really hard times. They taught me about the Spirit of God. They kept me in line. They reeled me in. They lifted me up. And I just so appreciate you guys and all that you've poured into my life, my husband's life, into the life of this church. And they've come alongside of us in difficult times and really were a lifeline to this church. So I just want to thank you guys and love
Amen.
You.
Yeah. Love you guys. Right. Amen.
Amen.
I love you. I just wanted to say hi. It's been a long time since we've been up here, and so I just wanted to say hi. And while we were worshiping, there was one thing that kept coming to mind, and it's been coming to my mind a lot lately, and that is how much God loves us. But you know what? He did even more than just love us. He poured the Holy Spirit in us so that we could love the way He loves. Because without the Holy Spirit, we can try, but it doesn't work very well. You know, we always kind of just get worn out. But when we love the way that Jesus loved us, when we start to love other people that way, stuff happens. And it's awesome. And the other thing I was thinking about is, what is it that stops us in our tracks? Literally. You know, we might be going forward with a revelation of the Lord, and we're going forward good. And then all of a sudden, this thing happens, and we literally freeze. And it's one word: fear. And fear is our enemy. It really is. It stops us. And so what casts out fear? Love. Perfect love. That perfect love is God's love. And so when we allow the Holy Spirit just to fill us with the love of God, fear goes. And we can continue on and do whatever it is that God has for us to do for that day, for that moment, for that person that we are next to. So that's what I wanted to share. Love you guys. Really love you.
Amen. I was just here reading the scripture you have up above, 1 Corinthians 4:20. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Amen. Amen. And it's one thing to read the word. It's one thing to understand and know the word. But it's another thing to allow its power to have its way in your life. And that's really what the Lord intended. You know, he even told the Pharisees, he said, you seek the word because you know that in it is eternal life. And he said, that's a good thing because it speaks about me. But yet you refuse to come to me, you know, to get the life. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, they are intended to empower you. They are intended not just to be a good saying, something that you know about. They intend to be something that motivates and moves and empowers, you know, those of us that have received the word. When you think of it, the New Testament and what Christ bring when he came, what Christ had brought when he came, was something that was hard for those people living at that time to comprehend, because he was bringing to them the very nature of the kingdom, where it becomes Christ in us, the hope of glory. Where, and Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 10. He said, don't go around saying that I've got to ascend up here to bring Christ down, or I got to go here and bring him up, or I got to go find him. He says, the word of God tells you that where is the word of God? It is in you. It is in your mouth. It is near you. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, you shall be saved. And so the activation of the church is important in this day and this hour. What you're talking about, the rising up of the church and for hell to be trampled, God intends it. Just as he told Peter, he said, Peter, blessed are you. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And what was he saying? He wasn't saying he's going to build a church on Peter, like some might believe. He's going to build a church on people that can receive heavenly revelation and be able to walk it out. And that's the church. And so for us today to kind of, it's important, I believe, for the church in the U.S. To bring that back in perspective. You know, Psalms 34 says that the righteous cries out and he hears them and he delivers them. So who cries out? The righteous, right, cries out. When in the book of Exodus, when the Lord came to Moses in the burning bush, he says, I have heard the cry of my people. You see, so he responds to what comes forth from his people. And that's what God desires to do. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. That's why Jesus said in chapter 14 of John, he said, I'm going to ask the Father and he's going to send somebody just like me to you. And he says he's going to take what is mine and make it known to you. That word known means make it be your experience. He wants you to experience the kingdom. He wants you to experience the word. It's not just a good saying. It's not just a nice book. It is life. And it is the power of God unto salvation. And as we walk this out and as we believe it, you know, like Tammy was saying about fear, some don't understand and don't really believe that God can use them. Like you're saying, you're enough if Jesus Christ is in you, you know. And here in John chapter 3, one of the most learned religious men on the planet came to Jesus and Nicodemus, and he said, I perceive there's something about you. You know, there's something different about you. I know there is. And Jesus said, you know, he said, if you want to see the kingdom, you have to be born again, born from above. You have to have me living in you to be able to receive the very nature and the very character of the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't, you're not going to be able to experience it and you're going to miss it, right? And so Nicodemus didn't understand that, just like a lot of people don't. But I believe it's up to us to help people understand what that's all about. They need to see it in us, right? They need to see it in us. So praise God. God is good, right? Amen. Let's just give the Lord a clap. Excited about God. You know, I'm naturally a pretty quiet person, right? And I got to, on purpose, get excited for Jesus. Honestly. You might say, well, isn't that like fake? No, it's not fake. I know I should be excited, right? So if I know I should be excited and I purpose to be excited, it's not fake. It's just an intentional, you know, expression of my faith to God. Right? It's on purpose. I do it on purpose. Some people think, well, your work, it's works, and you're just doing it, and it's phony, and it's not real. If you don't really feel like it, then why do it? Because I don't want to stay living like I feel like. I mean, I don't know about you. I get up enough mornings feeling like, oh, man, is this going to move? Yeah, okay. I don't want to walk around like I feel like. So I rather walk around in who I am in Christ. I rather walk in Him. I rather live and move and have my being in Him. And I rather on purpose, you know, put forth the effort. You see, we've allowed ourselves to receive partial truths in America because we want it to fit into what we like and what we want. It's called a convenient gospel, you know. And for convenience sake, we allowed the goodness and the power of the gospel to be taken from us, you know. And so there's a lot of things that we adapt because of convenience, because we don't want them to invade our lives, you see, because we think we know better and we think we know what we want, you know. I'm smart enough to know I don't really know what I want all the time. You know, I don't know what's best for me. I don't know what I need all of the time, and sometimes I make a choice and it's the wrong choice. You know, last night after the wedding, it's a wonderful wedding, beautiful reception, but on the way home, Tammy and I said, "Well, we're out. You know, we're away. Let's do something special." So we're on our way back to the hotel room, and we stop at Wegmans. And we decided we wanted some ice cream. So I got myself a nice chocolate chip tub of ice cream. I figure I have a few bites out of it. And so I got back to the hotel, and we sat in there, and I ate the whole thing. So when Pastor Don asked me, how was your sleep last night? I said, well, it was okay. After about four Alka-Seltzer, you know. But I enjoyed that chocolate ice cream. I'm thinking, this is my choice. This is what I really want. But I found out later on it really wasn't what I wanted. Because I didn't want to be up all night, you know, with acid reflux or whatever you want to call it. It was not a comfortable night. But, you know, I stayed up all night trying to figure out whose fault it was. Right? Had to be Tammy's the one that wanted to stop there. So, you know, it worked for Adam. Adam said, Lord, it's that woman. How many of you know the Lord didn't buy that? No, he didn't. He knows. He knows how we're made. He made us. But God is good. But, you know, it's catching the understanding of the kingdom that it has more to do with you than what you think. And some people think, well, you know, if God is so big and so powerful and so mighty, you know, and he wills to do something and he chooses to do something, it's just going to happen. But how many know that God chose and willed to create mankind? And he chose to create us in his image. And he chose to say, I want you to watch over what I created. And I want you to subdue it. And I want to give you authority over it. And I want you to rule and I want you to reign. And so our choice has a lot to do with what goes on right now. You know, I believe what's going on in the world right now is because of man's choice, not God's choice. You might say, well, how can that be? How can man's choice out trump God's? No, God made the choice to put authority in the hands of man. And so the choices we make, whether we stop and get chocolate chip ice cream, you know, at whatever time at night, and to expect to have a good night's sleep, you know, you'd think we would know better after a while, right? But it seems like we do the same thing over and over and over again, and we get the same results, you know? And so... So this morning I want to talk, I think Cheryl mentioned a little bit about the book of Joshua. And I want to talk about Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 was great. You know, the first verse, the Lord says to Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. He said, so now let's cross over this Jordan. And something that was impossible for 40 years in the wilderness, all of a sudden became possible. So I began to think, okay, well, Lord, what's the difference? Is it just because you chose to do it now and not do it then? You know, what's the difference? And he says, well, okay, you know, Moses being dead, I believe Moses was an awesome man. I believe he was able. I believe he was an incredible leader. You know, yeah, he made a mistake, one mistake. He said that would keep him from going to the promised land. But it wasn't that Moses couldn't do it. It was the making of a new era in a different time. And as the scripture goes on, I'll just read Joshua chapter 3, starting at verse 3. And they're talking about crossing the Jordan River. And if we would read in Joshua, we would find that it was at the worst time to do it. It was in flood stage, and the Jordan River that flowed, it would flow along the different settlements that were along the river. And when it went into flood stage, the water took all kinds of debris, you know, with it. So it was a very dangerous, dirty, mucky river. And he said, we're going to cross this thing. And it was not the most opportune time to do so, right? From their standpoint, from a human standpoint. God is not tied to what we think is the opportune time the right time, the best time, because we don't always know, but God knows. But here it says this, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it. Remember, it's the priest and the Levites bearing this ark. Who's the priest today? First Peter. We are, right? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, called to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into light. He says the priests are going to bear this ark. And he says that, then you shall, when you see the priests bear it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. 2,000 cubits was exactly the amount of time that, or steps that were given to be able to walk on the Sabbath day. The Jewish law, they weren't supposed to do a lot of work on the Sabbath day, but they could walk 2,000 cubits. Because when you look into it, 2,000 cubits was the exact amount of room, right, of cubits, that allowed the person that was in the furthest tent around the camp of meeting to make it into the tabernacle. You see, because in the wilderness, when they had the tabernacle set up, and we don't have time to go into the whole way it was set up, but when they had the tabernacle set up, where they had the ark, where the presence of God would be there, and it had the camp of all the children of Israel were all around it. Okay? And they were set in different places. So their tents and their camps. And 2,000 cubits gave the person from the furthest distance, right, enough cubits or enough steps within those cubits to make it into the tabernacle on the Sabbath. So here he's saying, you know, we're going to send the ark first, but you got to leave room for everybody to go. He said, this is not something that's going to be just for you to hurry up and run across. But we want opportunity for everybody, whosoever is willing, to come across this Jordan River. What was on the other side of the Jordan? The promised land. The land, he said, when you left Egypt, that you're going to go into a land that is yours, flowing with milk and honey. The land in which the 10 spies went in earlier, but came back and said, we cannot do it. And that same land, that's what, you know, was on the other side of this Jordan River. But he said, what's going to happen now, Joshua? He said, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. You're going to see my power. You're going to see my hand. He said, but this is how we're going to do it. He said, we're going to cross that Jordan. And he said, it's not going to be a calculated engineering project. Right? We'd calculate it as mankind. Okay, what's it take to get across there? Okay, well, we could do this. We could build a bridge. We could do all of this. No, it's not an engineered process. It's not a process that man can think. And we've got to understand, when we want to lay a hold of the things of the kingdom of God, it's not done by our thinking. It's not done by our planning, by our plotting. It's not done by the hands of man, but it's done through being obedient to what God tells us to do. It's done out of pure faith. The ark was that in which they put their faith in. The ark is what was in the ark. Anybody remember what was in the ark? Pastor? Ten Commandments? What else? Aaron's rod. What else? Pot of manna. Okay, those three things were in the ark. And when you think of it, okay, you think of it, the Ten Commandments. You know, what an experience for the children of Israel when Moses went up, you know, to the mountain and received the tablets. We know the first version of the tablets, he actually came down and broke because the people were a mess, right? There'd be some broken tablets today, I'll tell you that, you know. But the second, when he came down, you know, it was the glory of God was on his face. They couldn't even look at his face. They had to put something over his face. And they were given instruction. Okay, if you want to be the people of God, you know, you got to choose to follow these commandments, these Ten Commandments. And that was in there. And then the pot of manna. Remember when they came out of Egypt, they were in the desert, and they weren't meant to be in the desert 40 years. They were meant to be in the desert just a number of days to make it over to the promised land. But they wouldn't follow the instruction, their fear, their worries, they wouldn't follow it. So they complained, we don't have anything to eat. And so all of the Lord just provided for them fresh manna. The word manna means, what is this? Right? But they provided fresh food, right? Fresh bread every day. And they'd go out and they'd eat it. If they tried to keep more for tomorrow, it would turn to worms. Right? But the Lord's provision, the Lord provided for them. Even though they were wayward, even though they weren't following correctly, the Lord provided for them. The Word says that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. Can you imagine that? I got some clothes in my closet that have been there a while. But if I wore them every day like they did, they'd be totally worn out. But they didn't wear out. And the provision of God. You see, God says, you know, a workman is worthy of his hire. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry how much money you got in your pocket. Just stay with me. Just focus on me. Just seek my kingdom first. Just go. I'm telling you, the provision of God is on his people. And if we'll just believe it, it is there. But then, you know, we had the pot of manna. Then we had Aaron's rod was in there. Now, the first time we hear about Aaron's rod is back in Exodus when he and Moses were before Pharaoh. And God told him to throw the rod down on the ground. And it became a snake. But the interesting thing is Pharaoh called some wizards, some witches, some of those who could do other things as well. And they threw theirs down and it became a snake. But the difference was Aaron's rod or Aaron's snake ate the other snakes. And Pharaoh didn't pay attention to that. But Aaron's rod was there. The authority of God. I'm telling you what. When we call upon the name of the Lord, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know God is able to come through for you. If you're willing to stand, if you're willing to believe, if you put your faith in Him, you will not be put to shame. And so here in this ark, this object of their faith, this place in which there was the seat between two cherubim, where the Lord says, "My presence will come and abide." My presence. We need His presence. Like Cheryl was saying, if without your presence, Lord, we're no different than anybody else, right? You know, why say we're a Christian if we're selling ourselves short and not availing ourselves to the most precious thing that is ours, and that is the very presence of God. And he said, I'm going to be in the midst of my people. I will dwell between the two cherubim. There's a seat there on top of the ark where God says my presence will be. And it's in a place in which His word is being obeyed, in a place in which we're depending and focused on Him for our provision, and also in the place that we are totally trusting in the complete authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. The presence of God can be carried by His people. Amen? And so that's what his desire is for us and His intention is for us. So He said, look, and going back to Joshua chapter 3, He says, I want the priests to go first. The interesting thing is, we said, what's the difference between they couldn't cross this Jordan for 40 years. Now today they can. It's interesting because when back in the Exodus where Moses crossed the Red Sea, remember that? You know, he told Moses, just put your rod out. And when he did, the sea parted. The difference between that and the Jordan River was he said the priests, you got to send the ark out first. And the priests have to actually put their feet in the water. They have to get their feet wet. You see, the people of God, we can't be afraid to get our feet wet. We can't be afraid to take our walk through this world. We can't be like, ooh, that's the world. You know? I got a man that became a good friend. And he probably wouldn't be well received in any church, honestly. His background is like, if you want to know the most ugliest background, and if he was here today, I'd have him give you his testimony. But I'm just being careful because he's not here. But the ugliest background you could think of, the most rottenest thing in this world that you could think of, this man lived, you know, his past life. But thank God, his arm wasn't too short. Amen. God was able to reach this man, and he came to the Lord. And he really loves the Lord. He's a true believer. But he calls me daily, because now he's walking out this new salvation he's got. And he's trying to be good. You know, he's trying to be a Christian. He's trying to do all of this. And he's called me. He said, Pastor Pete, he said, my son-in-law, he's doing this, he's doing that. He says, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. And I said, I don't think you want to do that. He said, I said, what am I supposed to do? I said, pray. What do you mean, pray? You know, I said, yeah, pray, just pray. I said, ask the Lord to touch his heart, to change his heart, to make a difference or whatever. You know, and we'll go through like 3 or 4 days like that, and he finally backs off of that. But the neat thing that just happened the other day is he had an encounter with the son-in-law. And I kept telling, I said, you know what? What good did that do? He said, Pastor Pete, he said, if I was a little bit younger, he said, the guy would be dead. And I believe it. And I said, but thank God that nothing really happened like that. Although the police came, people were called, carted off to jail. You know, all of this happened. But thank God no one died. So he comes to me the other day. We had a harvest party, and he pulls in his car. I said, Pastor Pete, he said, you know, the Lord had me up last night. And I think he's telling me to go apologize. You think I'm hearing from God? And I said, what do you mean, go apart? What did he want you to see? Well, he said, I'm trying to be a Christian, you know, and I'm grabbing a hold of this guy by the neck, and I'm saying this, 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 and I'm punching him in the face. And he said, and the Lord's allowing me to see that again. And he's saying, that's not what I should be doing as a Christian. I said, that's a good idea. I think that's God. I think that's God. And he says, you know, I'm going to go and apologize and tell them that I'm sorry, that I did the wrong thing, and that I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'm going to try to love him. And I'm going to try to, you know. And he went and he did that. Now, why am I telling this story? Because when the priests were told that they had to carry the ark, it's not a light thing. It was pretty heavy. And they had poles that were made that were covered in gold plated that would go on the shoulder of the priest. And they had to put their feet in the water first. They had to step in to the muck of humanity. Right? They had to believe before they saw it. See, the other people that were 2,000 cubits back, they got to sit back and watch what happened. But when the priests approached the Jordan, they didn't get a chance to sit back and watch what happens. You know, like in John 17, I think it's John 17, where Thomas didn't see the Lord when he came back, and he said he didn't believe. And the Lord appeared to him and showed him the holes in his hands, and he believed. And so Jesus said to Thomas, he said, Thomas, blessed are you because you have seen and you believe. He said, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I mean, you want to see the power of God released in the church? Let's be the people that don't have to see it to believe it. Let's be the people who are willing to step in first. Let's be the people who are willing to carry that presence of God, carry that experience that we've had with God, carry the goodness that we know of God, the provision of God, and the trust that we have in God, and carry, believe Him at His Word, and be willing to step into the muck of this world and watch it just roll back. It was interesting, if you read in Joshua, it says that when this river rolled back, it went all the way to a town. Anybody know the name of that town? Adam. You guys have heard this before. Adam. Think of it. So the muck and the mire of the world, all of the junk and the sin of the world, right, flowing down this Jordan River, separating people from the promises of God. And now all of a sudden, if you can just find some priests that are willing to step in before they see it happen, to believe God, to put their faith first. You know, this is the first time that ever happened. We were reading in Joshua. The children of Israel were always led by the pillar by day, right? And the fire by night. They were always led. But he said, now I want you to be led by the ark. Before this time, the ark was in the center of the people, protected and kept. See, a lot of people think, oh, my faith, it's a personal thing. You know, I'm not going to offend anybody with my faith. I'm not going to put my faith out there. What if it doesn't happen? I'm going to protect my faith. I'm going to keep it hidden. But the Lord says, no, I want your faith out there in the front of everything that you do. It's time for the people of God, for the church, to put their faith first. Put it out there. Do you believe in God? Then go for it. You know, do you trust in Him? Do you believe that His Word is true? Then stand upon it. Be willing to step in. Be willing to be the first one there. So, you know, some people, you know, aren't going to believe until they see. But thank God that there's people that are able to believe even though they don't see. Because, you know, just like those 2,000 cubits, it gave room for everybody to take part in what was happening. But it took those priests that didn't have much room. In fact, they didn't have any room between them and between what they had to do out of obedience and what they were hoping to happen. They had to step in before they could even see it happening. And you know, we think that space between us and the happenings of God is convenient. We think by creating space in between us and standing firm on the things of God gives us a little bit of wiggle room, but that wiggle room is not your friend. Because, you know, you wiggle, you might end up somewhere you don't belong. That's where my wiggle brings me, you know. My wiggle will give me a sore back, but that's a whole nother story. I was invited to this party, and why am I saying this? But anyway, I was invited to this party, and this woman was turning 60 years old, or I think it was. And her husband knew that she liked Elvis. So they invited an Elvis impersonator to this party. And they were going, so Pastor Pete, look at what you think. So I went and I decided I was going to dance like Elvis. I couldn't walk for 2 weeks after. I threw my back out. That's true. You know, it's crazy. Crazy things happen to some people. So, so anyway, where was I? Oh, the wiggle room. The wiggle room. You know, it's our choice. How close are we going to walk with God? How close are we going to walk with God? You know, Jesus said in John 17, He said, Father, I sanctify myself so that they might be sanctified. In other words, Lord, I put myself in a relationship with You, set apart for You, watching what You're doing. Jesus says, I see what the Father's doing and I do it. He says, I hear what He's saying and I speak it. He says, Father, I have set myself apart for You so that others could be sanctified. You see, the priests had to step in before those that were 2,000 cubits back would follow. You see, church, we've got to understand our responsibility. We've got to understand it. It's His whole design that Christ in us is the hope of glory. It's His whole design that you and I, because, you know, the Scripture tells us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. That He lives in us. And to see the kingdom advancing. I believe, yeah, we're going to have a big revival happening. But it isn't going to happen out of the football stadiums. It's going to happen one-on-one. The hearts of His people come into the place that they understand and believe, you know what? If I just step in, I'm making available and I'm making a way for others to come. You know? And you know the story of the wedding feast? You said a wonderful wedding. Congratulations, guys. Wonderful wedding. Beautiful wedding. You know, but at the wedding feast that Jesus went to, it said they ran out of wine. And so Jesus' mother went to Jesus and said, they're out of wine. And Jesus said, what's that got to me, huh? What should I care about that? And his mother turned to the people that were with Jesus and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Wow, what a statement. Because when he began to tell them what to do, he was setting the stage for the time to change. When the church of God begins to do what they hear God tell them to do, it is the stage for change. It is the atmosphere for miracles. The atmosphere for miracles. It's the place that you and I can expect to see God do the things that God does. And, you know, I love being in a place where God, here I am. Lord, I've done all. Now, God, do what you do. Just do what you do, God. You know, what does God do? God shows up. God moves. God touches. God heals. God delivers. God empowers. God quickens. Right? God takes people that had no purpose and no life and now makes them the people and the children of God. You know, God changes your life. God gives you purpose. God gives you reason to live. God takes, like my friend who I said was, you know, you couldn't get any worse, and turns him into a man that just like, wow, I think God wants me to go and apologize and say I shouldn't act like that. Now, I could be speaking to him saying, don't act like that anymore. Don't do that. Don't do that. In fact, I told him and he still went and did it. But when he heard God speak to him that night saying, you know, maybe you ought to go and apologize. Maybe you shouldn't be acting that way. And all of a sudden, his life changes. See, God changes lives. You and I, we can't do it, but God can. But let me give you a secret. God's in you. God is in you. You know, the Lord appeared to the disciples when they were in the upper room after he was crucified. And the Bible says he breathed on them. And he said, those who sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And those who sins you retain, they're retained. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean I have the power to forgive sins? No. But he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. And if we're willing to bring and share that Holy Spirit, that nature, that character, that dynamic of God with others, God can change their heart just like he changed my heart. The ability to change a life is within the words that you share. It's within the heart. Are you willing to stand? Now remember, these priests had to step in this water. And they had to stand in that water for hours upon hours. Now they weren't in the water. Once they stepped in, it said that the water parted. And the priest stood in the middle of the Jordan on dry ground. But I wondered, what was going through the heads of those priests? What was going through their minds? They're standing there thinking, they're seeing these walls of water, you know, backed up, thinking, how long is this going to be? We better get out of here. You know, what's happening? You know, but the Bible doesn't record that. I believe they kept their focus on the Lord, their awe upon their God, the excitement of of all of this being taken out of the way so that they could walk on dry ground, and they could stand there in the middle of it, you know. And so God is looking for a church, you know, to stand by faith Remember, this is the first time that the ark went out. Before, it was the army going before them. The army. You know, the warriors, the ones with the shields and the ones with the swords, they went out first. That's how you do a war, right? That's how you go out in battle. That's how you head out for something that was unknown ahead. But here they sent priests out, you know, defenseless priests, right? No swords, no shields, nothing. And then they sent their most precious thing ahead with them, right? 2,000 cubits, which is about between 3/4 of a mile and a mile away. It could have been attacked. It could have been overtaken, you know. But how many know God doesn't need our protection? God doesn't need us to take care of Him. God doesn't need us to, you know, the Word of God comes and it speaks the Word. He doesn't need us to kind of say, well, God, I know that's what the Word says, but you know what, I got to step in here a little bit for God. I don't think God knows what He's doing. You know, I don't think we ought to say that, you know, to these people, because they might get offended. You know, all of a sudden we think we've got a pinch hit for God, that God doesn't really know what He's doing. But God knows what He's doing. And we need to be led by Him and by the faith in which we have in Him. We got to let faith, you know, we hear the scripture that the just shall live by faith, that we walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? What does that mean to you, that you walk by faith and not by sight? It means you step into the things of God before you see Him happen. You know, faith isn't required if you already see it. You know, we rather, you know, step back and watch. Excuse me, my throat's getting a little scratchy. So I think today I'm going to invite you to be part of something brand new. Just like Joshua invited the children of Israel. He told his leaders to go out through the camp and tell them to sanctify themselves. Because in 3 days, God's going to do something mighty in your midst. 3 days. What happened in 3 days? The Lord rose from the dead, didn't He, in 3 days? The stone was rolled away and up. 3 days speaks of resurrection, right? 3 days speaks of the power of God unto salvation. 3 days speaks of what was impossible then is now possible today. It speaks of miraculous happenings. You know, God's a God of miracles, isn't He? And if we limit Him to only what we can comprehend and what we can work out, an engineered happening, you know, if we try to limit Him to that, then we limit who God is. God is a God of miracles. God's a God of supernatural ability that doesn't have to make sense to us. But all we've got to do is to hear His voice and be obedient. All we've got to do is trust. All we've got to do is be willing to walk by faith, you see, and put our faith out first, okay? And God is able to come through for us. And He will. He will bring it to pass if we continue to believe and have faith in Him. But the awesome thing is, it also allows us to make room for others. Just like my friend. I was rejoicing. Because can you imagine this guy, this tough guy, going to his son-in-law that he just smacked around and did... Don't worry, he won't do that. We already talked to him about that. He won't. But going to him and apologize and say, I was totally wrong. Think of the opportunity for God in that moment. Think of the opportunity of redemption in that moment. That guy who's a tough guy and whatever in his own right now gets to experience this man being humbled and apologizing, admitting he's wrong, and saying, God convicted his heart. Please forgive me. And that's what he went in tears. He says, I was crying like a baby, Pastor Pete. I said, yay, awesome. You know, because what opportunity for God to move in the lives of both of them. You see, the opportunity for God to move lies in you, lies in me, lies in every believer. The opportunity. Who knows what God can do? You know, we read in Hebrews that we have this great cloud of witnesses just watching and spurring on the church. What do you think they're waiting for? They know that in the believer is the very same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. And the opportunity of that believer allowing that to be expressed, who knows what can be done? People can be raised from the dead. People can be healed. Lives can be totally changed. A life that was going the wrong way can now be used for the purposes of God and the glory of God. And God can be glorified. What an awesome opportunity. And that's what I believe he's calling the church to. I believe he's calling Life Tree to that. You know, be the people of God. You know, allow your faith to be that which you put out ahead of you. Truly being led by faith and truly walking it out and allowing yourself to do so on behalf of others. It's not just about you. Your faith is not just about you. It's about others in this community. Having that kind of love and compassion to care about others. You know, a lot of times it's like, oh wow, okay, the Jordan's dry, let's go. We'll run over ourselves, we'll get out of here quick. You know, but they had to see as they stood back, you know, 3/4 of a mile away, watching, saying, look at the priest going in. What are they doing? They're walking right into that water. They're walking right in there. You know? What are they doing? Are they crazy? Don't they know it's flood stage? What are they? And they're taking the ark? The ark's going to get swept down like everybody else, you know? What are they doing? This is crazy. And the priest came and put his foot, I don't want to fall off, but put his foot in the water. Pick me up if I do, okay? Put his foot in the water. And the water began to recede. They began to see the move of God. People are watching for the move of God in your life. They're watching. You know, you stop at somebody at the grocery store and share your care for them. Just care for them. Just take, you know, people don't have time for each other anymore. Just take time to care for one another. And then ask, can I pray for you? Is there something I can help you with? How are you doing? You know, take time. You know, our the enemy loves, or the world system loves to keep us so busy that we don't have time to show God. And you know, the enemy hasn't changed his tactics. You know, when the children of Israel were in Egypt and Joseph was there and Pharaoh, and they had this great relationship. Well, Joseph died and Pharaoh died. There was a new Pharaoh. And they came to Pharaoh and they said, look at these Jews that you allowed to come in here, you know, and they're living in this land over here. He said, they're growing and they're becoming more powerful than we are. We need to fear them. And so Pharaoh said, no problem. We're just going to keep them busy building brick and mortar. We're going to keep them busy making bricks. And if they stay so busy making bricks, they won't have time to build their own kingdom because they're going to be so busy building my kingdom. And that's exactly what's going on in this world. They're trying to keep the church so busy building the kingdom of this world that we don't have time to build the kingdom of our God. He's got no different plan. He's not that smart. He's just been around a long time. But he's no match for the Lord. The devil is no match for God. And so when we stay true to God and walking with God, he's no match for us. No match for us. Absolutely not. No, the devil isn't one to fear at all unless you're walking away from the Lord. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. You know, it reminds me when Peter, we all know the story how Peter denied the Lord three times before the rooster crowed. But when they came to get Jesus in the garden, it said Peter followed, but he followed from a distance. He distanced himself from the Lord. See, when we distance ourselves from the Lord, you know, we talked about that 2,000 cubits away. You know, God still made room for Peter to come back. But I'll tell you, there was a whole lot of problem in that distancing. He found himself denying the Lord because he took and he made the decision to distance himself. So church, let's not distance ourselves from God. Let's stay as close to Him as possible. Right? How do you do that? How do you stay close to the Lord? You stay close to the Lord by staying in His Word and applying His Word on a regular basis and believing in Him and having faith in Him and walking out the life that you have with Him. Right? You've been offered a life. You've been offered a new life to live. Right? In Christ Jesus. Right? And we're different in that life. We make different choices. And we have different reasons for the things that we do. We don't act like other people. We don't act high and mighty and all snooty like we're all religious. But we have a different mindset. We see things differently. Because we see them according to the Word. Our eyes have been opened. We understand things. So we walk and we live a certain way. And as we do that and purpose to do that, we're walking with God and we're walking close to Him. And so we're there, we're seeing what is going on. We're involved with what God's doing. And it becomes the purpose of our lives. And so we stay close to Him. And so the closer we stay, the more we are involved in what God's plan is instead of the world's plan. You know, and don't get caught up with just building bricks. Right? The way that the children did when they were in bondage of Egypt. So this morning I'm asking, are there any priests here? Anyone willing to step in? You know, and I'm asking the Lord to just quicken His people. I mean, quicken us. So that there's not even a hesitation. And I saw people raising their hand without hesitation. And that blesses me. Because, you know, it's the hesitation that gets us. The more I let it go around in my head, the more I talk myself out of it, you know. The more I convince myself how smart I am when really I'm making a stupid decision because I've chosen not to follow God. God says, here I am, you know, and jump in. The quicker we can do it, the better. You know, when we immediately obey Him, you know, then we are immediately in the place that we can see God doing what God does. Instead of us talking ourselves out of it, you know. And so this morning, the priests, all of those priests, stand up if you consider yourself a priest. Right? We're a priest. If you got Jesus in you, He's made you a priest. Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest that has gone before us, right? And that He's not like the old priest. He's not even from the tribe of Aaron. He's from a whole different tribe called Melchizedek, which is really an Old Testament manifestation of Jesus Himself, right? He was always there from the very beginning. He created the foundations of the world. Jesus didn't come into existence when He was first born to Mary. He was the one that was at creation. When they said, let us make man in our image, it was Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus always was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And He is our high priest. And we are priests under Him, according to Him. Melchizedek, the priesthood, was a priesthood that lasted forever. The priesthood of the Old Testament of Aaron lasted only as long as the person lived. But Jesus, who lives forever, is a priest forever. You know, that's why the blood that he shed was once and for all. We don't have to look for another sacrifice. He was the complete sacrifice. And therefore, we are priests in his order. And he said, those priests, you know, are you willing? Are you willing to stand in my presence? Are you willing to carry my presence? Are you willing to sanctify yourself so that others might be sanctified? And what does that look like? People coming to the Lord, people getting healed, people getting delivered, this place being so packed out that you can't even get in here because the goodness of God is found in here. I believe that's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. But it's going to happen because our eyes are open to the understanding that it's Christ in us. We're not waiting for something to happen out there. We're waiting for something to happen right here. And we're allowing ourselves to be those priests that before we see it happen, we're willing to step into it. So Father God, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for giving us such an incredible, Lord, salvation and redemption to step into. The wonderful salvation purchased for us by the very blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know and we understand that Lord, what you have done and the salvation that you have secured for us, O God, is beyond our full understanding. But that which we understand, that somehow, some way, that you place your very spirit within us, that we can walk out, Lord, what we believe. That what we believe can become experience. What we believe, O God, can literally become the life that we live and we walk out. Father, what an incredible, miraculous, awesome salvation that you have for us. And Lord, I pray as we all stand here saying, Lord, we want to be those priests that step in first. Father God, I ask for your anointing to fall. For your presence, O God. For your power to be revealed, O God. I ask, Lord God, as your priests go forth, O Lord, I pray that those that are looking on, those that are the rest of the population, O God, can also enter in. Lord, you said it is your will that none would perish. None would be left out. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just pray that you would set up divine appointments for each and every one. For these priests of yours just to love on people. For these priests of yours, Lord, just to show the care of their Almighty God for each and every person, God, out in this world and in this marketplace. Father, whether they go to the bank, whether they go to the store, whether they go to work, whether they go to school, wherever they go, Lord, may they carry their faith. May their faith be that, Lord, which goes before them. May they be, O Lord, that instrument, God, of yours, used for your glory. And we thank you, Lord. We ask for your power. We ask for boldness, Lord, during this time. Lord, I ask for an increased boldness, Lord, to come upon us. Lord, even your disciples, Lord, after Pentecost, after the outpouring of the fire and the tongues and the wind and the 3,000 people coming to the Lord, Lord. They went out and they found, Lord, that they needed to continue. In Acts chapter 4, they had to continue praying and asking, God, we need more. Lord, and if they needed more, we certainly need more. So, Lord, I ask for more of your Holy Spirit upon us right now. I ask for an outpouring of your Spirit, God. I ask for boldness, Lord. I ask for more faith, O God, more to be poured out upon us, Lord. God, we are desperate for you. And Lord, as they prayed even in Acts 14, Lord, as we step out and we boldly proclaim your word, I pray, Lord, that you would respond with signs and wonders and miracles, God. Miracles be done in people's lives to show that our God is alive. To show that our God is the living God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Is there anyone in need of prayer this morning? Is there anything going on in your life that you'd like prayer for? Whether it be a sickness, whether there's just issues that you just can't get by. Maybe you just need a touch from God that gives you the faith to be able to stand in the flow of life's junk thrown at you. If you'd like that, you can come up front here and we'll pray for you. And I believe the Lord will meet you right where you're at, because He's faithful. And we're willing to believe for you, step in ahead of you. We're willing to trust God to touch your life this morning. Thank you, Lord.
And the kingdom is
Place. I just encourage you to move forward. Just come forward if you need prayer. If you've been here a million times before, it doesn't matter. You know, it was the persistent widow that got what she asked for. And I'm encouraging you, if you need healing, please come forward for prayer. If you need healing in your heart, healing in your family, as if you just want more of God. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the time to move. Don't wait.
blind to see. He's moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear, is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in his place, his life is flowing through my veins, his life is flowing through my veins. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in his place, his life is flowing through my veins, his life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you, I believe. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins, his life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.